Hey, my friend, thanks for listening today to this episode. I'm excited about this topic because it used to be such a topic that was frustrating to me, and now it's a topic that's quite liberating to me. I love to live a bold life. I want to live life on purpose. I want to feel like every day I am picking up my little toy sword, I'm putting on my imaginary cape, and I'm venturing out into life to live bold and intentional. But in my life, there was something I used to think that really held me back from living bold, and that is how I looked at God's will. I've oftentimes in my life heard people talk about living in the perfect will of God. And to be honest with you, when I heard people talk about that, it just made me want to throw in the towel before I even started. Just before this podcast to sit down, I was moving a chair in my house and I was walking backwards as I was moving this and I ran into a wall. And then moving my whiteboard and stand with my notes, I dropped it and dropped the whiteboard onto my head. I wasn't injured in any one of these accidents, but I just think of how flawed I am as a human in everything that I do. Everything I do is flawed. Why? I'm part of it. I struggle to know if my dress socks are black or navy blue. I'm struggling with whether or not I eat a donut today. I struggle with mindsets. I struggle with time management. I struggle with laziness. I struggle with fear. There are elements of struggle in everything in my life. And so when people talked about living in the perfect will of God, that didn't sound awesome to me. That felt impossible to me. And if that was the goal, then I'm out of that game completely, because I never saw how that would ever be a reality for me. So why would I even try that? Here's what I have learned. The will of God has much more to do with who I be than what I do. The will of God is much more about living out God's ways than it is having these exact actions. For instance, if someone looks at their life and they have a decision to make about a job or about a house they buy, a car that they buy, if someone thinks that the perfect will of God must be known for the house they buy, how can you ever be bold about buying a house? If the perfect will of God is about choosing the perfect job, like there's an exact job you are supposed to work, how can a person live boldly? Because how do you know when this is the exact job I'm supposed to work? How does someone boldly get married? If you're wondering in your heart, well, is this the person I'm supposed to marry? Because what if I get this wrong? What if I marry the wrong person? What if I buy the wrong house? What if I choose the wrong career? What an overwhelming reality to think that way. I used to be in that. And you cannot live bold with that kind of thinking. I think for some people that sounds like an awesome thing. Like, I'm going to know the perfect will of God and then live out the perfect will of God, and that's going to be great. The problem is, that's just not reality. It's not reality. It's not what life is. And frankly, if for a faith-based person, if you look at Scripture, it's not even what Scripture tells us life is. Scripture does not tell us that we are supposed to know the exact house and the exact person to marry and the exact job to have and the exact da 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 da. That's not what Scripture tells us. I'm going to repeat this. The will of God has much more to do with who we be than what we do. And the will of God is much more about living out God's ways. In other words, it's not, which house am I supposed to buy? God's will has much more to do with what I do with that house, how I treat people in that house. Do I take care of that house? Do I use that house to invite people into it and love people? How we think about God's will can be very stifling or very liberating. There's a verse in Romans chapter 12, I think it's verse 2, that talks about the acceptable and good and perfect will of God. And if we just read that one verse, we might think, well, the perfect will of God is this thing that we must seek. But is that what the point of that verse? If you read more of that verse, it gets into principles that I think are very powerful that point us to really the perspective we can have about God's will. The very next verse, after speaking of this perfect will of God, it says that we ought not think more highly of ourselves. We ought not think too high of ourselves. To me, that's an example of what the perfect will of God is, that we ought not think too high of ourselves. Then it goes into talking about how we are members of one body and we have different gifts and our gifts are for people. I think to myself, is this not an example of the perfect will of God? That I am the arm, someone else is a hand. And that my life works in conjunction with other people in my life. To me, this is an example of the perfect will of God. A later verse, same chapter, talks about let love be without hypocrisy. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Once again, is this not an example of the perfect will of God? Next verse, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, give preference to one another. Once again, is this not the perfect will of God? Bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Once again, the perfect will of God. In the last verse of Romans 12, verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here is this general universal principle that speaks of what God's will is, that we are not overcome by evil, and instead we overcome evil with good. When we think about God's will, I think we make a mistake when we think that the point is that we know which house we're supposed to buy, when really God's will is about how we live, how we think, how we treat people. Overcoming evil with good is God's will for our life. Let me give a couple examples. I talked to a man just this morning who's struggling with a decision, and his mom has passed away and left the house to he and his wife, and they're struggling with whether or not they should move into that house or stay in their current house. And we talked about that. And you might look at that situation and should a person ask, what does God want me to do? God, do you want me to move into that house or do you want me to stay in my house? And the question I would ask is this: does this man need to ask that question? Does he need to ask God, which house should I live in? I think that's a very interesting topic for conversation. I compared it to a human relationship like with my own sons. And I said to him, let's say my sons are 17, 18 years old. Let's say one of them is out with friends. They're having lunch. If my son calls me and he says, Dad, I don't know what to eat for lunch today. I'm not sure. I'm looking at this menu. There's a lot of choices. I don't know what I should order. What am I supposed to order? I would not give him advice on what to order. I'd want to have a conversation with him about why is he even asking me that question. My will is that my son would be sitting across the table from the right kind of person. My will for my son is that he's going to treat the waiter or waitress really well and tip them well. My will is that I hope he buys his friend's lunch. That's my will. I don't care what he eats for lunch. It's how he eats lunch. It's the people he's with. It's how he treats people when he's having lunch that matters. I think oftentimes in life, we get ourselves kind of complicated with complexities, asking questions we do not need to ask. Back to the story of the man who's deciding the house. Later in conversation, you know, he said, you know, my real struggle is it's hard going back to that house at all. My mom's stuff is still in there. And it's hard for my heart to go there. So think about this. Here's a man that's grieving the loss of his mom. It's a difficult time in life. He does not need to add complexity to the burden of his life by asking the question, which house am I supposed to live in? On top of his grieving, he doesn't need to wonder if he's going to mess up with God by choosing the wrong house to live in. This man I was talking to is a great man. He can keep being a great man. And because of who he is, whichever house he chooses to live in, he's going to live in it greatly because of who he is. The point of God's will is who we be, not which house do we live in. So if we make our life complex by how we look at God's will, it can prevent us from, in this man's case, being able to grieve. He doesn't need to wonder where God wants him to live. God wants his heart to be alive again. He's grieving and he's hurting. He doesn't need to add complexity to that process. Here's another example. A young couple. They are a young married couple. They've had a child and now they're wondering about their careers. Because you both can't pursue your careers full steam ahead when you now have a baby. And you've got to make a decision. Who's going to stay home? Do you both work full time or part-time? Does one person go full-time, one person part-time? Does one person go full-time, the other person not work at all? This is a big decision to make. For these people, they're looking at their life. They're looking at, you know, what's the point of my existence? And do I stop my ambitions and career? What do I do with that? This is a really difficult decision to make. This challenges how we think, challenges our priorities. Well, if these two people are wondering, if they're asking the question, God, what is your will for us in this decision? God, tell us what your will is. Which one of us stays home? God, is it your will that we both work full time and we hire a nanny or have daycare for our child. Is this how, would you recommend that this young couple look at their life that way? Is that how their decision should be made? Is this decision, do they need to hear from God about what they decide concerning work and the raising of their child? I would say that in situations like that, what they do is use the wisdom of God, which Scripture talks about God's ways. And for our life, wisdom is such a paramount feature of walking with God. So God's ways gives us a framework of wisdom for how we make decisions. It helps us prioritize our life rightly. But I think we confuse our life when we wonder, am I supposed to keep my job? Am I supposed to be part-time? Am I supposed to abandon career? I think we confuse our life with that kind of thinking. Once again, God's will has much more to do with who we be than the specific things, the specific decisions we make. God's will is that we live out His ways and live out His wisdom. So when it comes to God's will, I'll summarize with this, and I really feel like I've probably just opened up a can of worms. I'm not sure I've solved anything for anyone in this short podcast, but I would say this. Some people spend their whole life on a desperate search for the specific will of God. God, tell me what to buy, when to buy it. Tell me what job I'm supposed to get. Tell me what person to marry. Tell me. Instead, what we can do with our life is live out the general, universal, powerful will of God in all that we do. For instance, one of the verses in Romans 12 says, overcome evil with good. Well, what if that's a framework of how we look at life? What if how we look at life, we simply, wherever there is evil, we overcome it with good? What if that's what we boldly do with our life? So what I find is the more that people hunger for the specific direction, the more stifled we live out the general universal will of God, which is more important. On the other hand, the more boldly that we live out the general universal will of God, wonderful specific things will happen in our life. But it's only as we live out the general universal will of God that we can boldly do things that cause specific things to happen. But we tend to get it backwards and we wonder what the specific thing should be. But then we don't know how to get to that specific thing. I don't believe life is about knowing the specific will of God. It's about living out the general, universal, powerful will of God. I trust this has brought some clarity. If it's only opened up a can of worms, that's probably a good thing. I think this topic is worth exploring and worth wrestling with. Until next time, my friend, I want to remind you that you have a purpose, and you've got to know that purpose so that you can then live boldly. If you don't know your purpose, let's stop waiting. Let's stop wondering. Let's figure that out. And if you need our help, reach out to us, mark@markdelaney.me. Reach out today. My friend, you have a purpose. You can know it. And you can be set free from anything that holds you back from living it out boldly. Now go take on the day.